one that is here. I was glad to hear Heisel do what he did tonight. He's came from miles to our meetings all over the country, and he just sang a little and sat down. I started telling him before he got up, Heisel, I wish you, if God got a hold of you, you'd just plow down. Wasn't it great to hear about his brother being saved? I buried my only brother 1951. I was in a meeting at Evans, Colorado. They called, he's 27 years old, said, your brother's sick. The Lord said he'll die. He'll not live. I said to Jeff Utter, the pastor, the Lord's just told me my brother will die, and I must go. I drove all night that night, be sitting over here. Way before daylight, he died, and I knew it, and I begged God, rebuke death off of him till I can get to Oklahoma City, and I got there, and Daddy's a sinner, but he was a good daddy to me. He finally prayed, God help me, help my own mother and daddy. I was my own mother's pastor and the only boy in the family. Wasn't raised in religion, wish I'd have been, but it wasn't. On old East G Street in Oklahoma City, down there in Indian Territory. I'm Choctaw and Cherokee myself. I can't even hardly read that little old book Be Bought for 10 cents. I'd read it years ago, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. I can't hardly read that book. You know, we talk about extinct animals and fish, and we penalize people for killing them because they're about gone. We wiped out several tribes of Indians with no relatives left. We wiped them out. But I'm not, you know, I'm that we can't dig up them skeletons. That won't do. But I just wanted to say, God said your brother will die. And the Lord don't lie. We've got a lot of people running, said the Lord said. I wish people would stop that to find out whether he's even talked or not. It's a shame to bring a reproach on the Lord by saying the Lord said this and the Lord said that. It's a shame to do that if the Lord didn't say nothing. But I knew he told me, and I told the pastor, did you tell the church tonight why I left? Because God told me my brother would die. And I got there, and Daddy said, your brother died, son, on the way, while he was on the way here. Said his eyes set his head. I held my hand over his eyes, said, so your mama couldn't see him. And said, then he come back. He come back. That's what happened on the way down. 3 days later, 20 minutes, 2 o'clock in the morning, my only brother went away. I tell you what, he said his brother got saved. That's one of the grandest things in the world for family to turn to God. That's one of the greatest things. Well, I'm here to help you. Sleep left me at 4 o'clock this morning. That's nothing. I don't need a reward for that. You won't even have to write that in the book like I sacrificed anything. That's happened to me for 45 years I've been preaching. But I was tore all to pieces. I have been all day. You know, the only thing I'm interested in doing now and have for some time is trying to do what the Lord wants to do. I got on Savannah, Georgia the other morning, and they asked me to preach. That church runs 250 to 350 in Sunday school, a big old church, a million and a half worth of property there at least, and a bunch of people. And I got up and had me a little message, and you know I never did get to read one word of it. That left me, just left me, and I couldn't preach one. You know what? I wound up preaching on something the Lord showed me in a vision a while back. I preached on Fight Back. I preached that up there to Thelma in Richland, Virginia. Had cancer now for years. She grabbed that. She said, Brother Moore, I grabbed that like a man grabbing a life, saving something to keep him from drowning. And she said, I've lived on that for years. I didn't do it. But you know, I fell asleep one night and I saw a great bird in the heavens, a large, large bird. And that bird looked like it weighed 100 pounds, had big old claws. And I got two boys, and one of them was down in the woods, and we are people of the outdoors. I'm a Choctaw and Cherokee. Great Lord, I love the outside. I love the fresh air. I love animals. I love what God made. I tell you what, I seen that thing come down on him in the woods and right down his head, and I couldn't get to him. He was a good ways from me in the woods, and he just whimpered and whined and groaned around and made me angry. I said, fight back, Terry, fight back. And he began to fight. He heard me hollering at him and fought the thing off and went over him and just down on him again. And he started that groaning and moaning again. And I said, Terry, fight back. And when I woke up, fight back was on me. I said, fight back? Where's it at? Well, it's all over the Bible. I have fought a good fight. We wasn't great fighters, but that's the only thing they won't expel me from school for. I had Indian arse and devil in there, and I couldn't stand bullies, and I wasn't running around picking on nobody, but I tell you what, me and my old brother could outrun anybody in the schoolhouse. He's gone, but we outrun anybody in that schoolhouse. Well, it wasn't 200 or 300 or 700. There's more than that there, and we could outrun every one of them. Bless my heart. I remember my old brother had a fight over there with an old boy, and that old boy, he had that left jab, you know. He just rocked my brother's head like, you know, but I thought, you'll have to beat that. He's made out of wet leather. You'll have to hit harder than that. If you can't hit no harder than that, you whoop now. I believe he hit my brother 50 times to one, but he'd just rear back around here, and here he'd come, and I'd holler, "Hit him, man!" And he'd catch him right under that eye. That fellow couldn't stand much of that. About 7 made good licks like that, and that's all. I'm not bragging on, but I'm telling you, it's a fight. Oh, you're not going to be able to beat him with this, but I'm telling you, if you're in what God wants you to be in, it's a fight. I fought with the beast at Ephesus. God, I preached where I feel like I had to fight. Have mercy, I've prayed for people had the devil on them, so you cast the devil out of people and you preach, and the word of God delivers people. You dealing with something that's got people on dope and got people killing people and got people murdering people. It's the devil in the world. You're going to fight if you make it. I ain't going to preach on fight back, but that's what I got down there in Savannah and thought I had a message and didn't, and the only thing I could preach was fight back. That's the only thing I could preach is fight back. Well, and no man that warreth entangleth himself with the fires of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier.
Yes.
Old Gene Tooney run backwards as much as he did forwards. Said to him one day, he did do it. Said, "What are you running backwards for, Gene?" He said, "I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to have to go back." He said, "If I don't, what do I do with that other than Jew? Let me have that job." He said, "If I can stay out of the way of Jack's right hand, if I can stay away from that Minneapolis mauler, I'll get him." He run down the road with his trainers, people interviewing him going backwards. He'd run backwards a mile. I thought it was crazy myself. It wasn't crazy when Jack started for him. He could dance away from that man, he couldn't hit him. He could go backwards. You know, I wouldn't mind having a backward step or two myself sometimes. I don't sound smart, I'm not, but I've pastored 9 churches and been the chairman of 10 boards, and I'm going to tell you what, buddy, it's a fight. Some folks would have fought back that wouldn't be sitting around gazing at TV tonight if they'd have told the children. If they'd have told the children they can't give it to me for Christmas, I ain't going to have it. They'd have made it to Sunday school again. It's a fight. You know what the black bishop said to over 4,000 churches when I sat on the platform with Bob Kerr, Senator Bob Kerr's Millionaire Boys, and Bob had a telegram laying on the podium saying, "Don't put Coy in the ground till I get there." Coy was a black bishop. But when that old bishop, over 4,000 churches, 71 year old, walked down that aisle straight as a gun barrel, said to preach 51 years and ain't been 2 minutes late to an appointment nowhere, I went under then. I'm telling you what. That old bishop got up there, 23 speakers. He didn't worry about satisfying the funeral home. He wasn't worried about no funeral director coming up there and pulling the saints away from the body just because they slung a little snot and shed a few tears. I get between them and the body sometimes. I get between them. I'm not knocking funeral directors. I know some good ones. But if I think they're just trying to drag, why, they wept for them 6 weeks in the Old Testament. They missed them when they left, and they cried when they're gone. Great God, have mercy. That old bishop got up, 23 speakers. They made short statements. Can't miss the planes, miss the buses, miss the trains. He wasn't worried about it. That was a bishop there. Man of God laying there. He got up and looked us in the eyeball and said, "If you can't take it, you can't make it." That's what he said to us. Phew, he raked us preachers over. And then he preached holiness to them millionaires sitting up there by me like you hadn't heard. He wasn't ashamed of it, Clarence. Well, I'm glad to be saved. I come here to do one thing, and that's try to help you. Thank you for raising your hand, honey. Had you on my mind when you raised your hand right then. Before you raised it. Pastor, an old boy for years, Jack Cossey, Norman, Oklahoma. Split an image of that fella. He's a split image of him. First time ever come here. I said, well, there's such Jack. No, it can't be Jack. He's not up here, but he's a split image of my song leader. Praise the good Lord. It's a fight. There ain't no question about it. It's a war. There ain't no question about it. That's the reason Paul said, I fought with the beast at Ephesus. You will fight for God if you stand for God. It's a war. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Yes.
Just thought of something. Just happened to think of something. I wrote down in front of this book here. That ain't the book I wrote it down in front of. I might preach. If I don't be excited. I've made flops before. I never have been too successful. Hallelujah. Well, I'll get it later. I've got this song in my songbook. Probably it ain't the will of God for me to say any more about it right now, so I'll leave it alone. All right, we're going to talk on simple thoughts. That's the only kind I've ever preached on anywhere. In 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, I'm going to read a little. Beatrice, did you have anything on your heart tonight? She had me get two Bibles out of the turtle of the car. There's both hers, and she went to read them. I said, she may have something for us. Yes. She does once in a while. She don't profess to be called to preach. She just does what she does. Y'all happy? Just well have a good time's a bad time. Yeah, you just well have a good time's a bad time. I took her to a strange church a while back, buddy, they knew us there down in Oklahoma, but, I mean, we just went by and visited that church where we was going, while we was going where we were going, and they asked her to say something, and she got up, and would you believe just between us, they was in a squabble over buying new church pews. Some wanted one kind and some another. Did you know the devil's so mean he'll have folks break up over something that don't amount to a hill of beans just because they didn't get their way? Amen. And B didn't know that. And she got up, and would you believe it? I said, went to talking about folks getting in a fuss over the church pews. Just right down on it. Just, I'm telling you, just the very thing. I noticed one deacon look at another and smile. I noticed another elder look over to another and smile. They know God had their number. That settled it that night. I mean, that ended that trouble. When that woman got through us, that ended that. They know God had his finger on it. Woo! Pardon me for hollering if it worries you. Hasn't hurt me for preach high 7 times a day in the wind with no PA system. Hallelujah. Got down here in Dale High, Louisiana, having a bigger oil boom than a Texas and Oklahoma oil field. When I was a big old boy about 21 and had David, my 41-year-old, just a little baby. And you know, I got down there and got singing and preaching on that street corner. You sang an old song. Would you listen, good people, now to what I've got to say? We've been living in a mighty evil day, and it seems that men won't hear the word of the Lord. But we know God cannot lie. Every nation he's going to try. And we see that his hand is on our land. You ever sing it? Well, it's God's mighty hand that's been troubling this old land. North and south, the east and west can be seen. Well, it's been a trouble in the rich and the poor. Men have been a running to and fro. And we see that God's hand is on our land. Singing like that down there and preaching. And you know what? The hotel windows begin to open across the street behind. Raising the windows in the hotel rooms over there. Well, I just turned up my built-in PA. Hallelujah. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego went down into the fire below. And God showed his mighty hand on that day. But the king, he cried out sore, cast in 3, and I see 4, and the 4th is like unto the Son of Man. Y'all ever sang that? Many, many nations, many, many towns, many, many banks will sure go down. People gonna lose
is every dollar that they save. Sinner, you better be running to God, for your future will be hard, for we see that God's hand is on our land. I preached and them old boys over there, I was down to nothing. We didn't hardly have enough money to buy gas. And I was hundreds of miles from home with that 33 Chevrolet. The rod's knocking like a covey quail every time you start the engine. Put an 11-foot homemade house trailer. That's the one B the quilt's froze to the wall in every morning in the winter. You stayed in it. We had a stove in one end and a bed in the other. And it's 11 foot long. I fought with the beast and apples. Devil said, you're wasting time. I done my best to stand my ground with him. I said, you'll see after a while. I talked back to him. God heal. God heal that baby David when he's 19 years old of cancer. Bad, bad all over him. Anesthesia said he's eat up with it. I wish I'd never studied medicine. They checked him out this last year, and just a few days ago checked him out again. Been 21 years, eat up with cancer, down to top of his heart, far as it go down, top of his lungs, they took tissue, and it's all malignant, cancer positive. I mean, bad. But you know God healed him. They couldn't find any in him the other day when they tried to. They couldn't find any in him 6 months ago when they tried to. Well, there never was a man like Jesus. Never was a man like Jesus. Never was a man like Jesus. He rolled my burden away. Put him in the tomb, but the tomb couldn't hold him. And never was a man like Jesus. It never was a man like Jesus. It never was a man like Jesus. He rolled my burden away. Put him in the tomb, but the tomb couldn't hold him. It never was a man like Jesus. Ain't been nobody like him. He's well and healthy tonight. Hasn't broke down with a nerve breakdown or a heart attack or eat up with ulcers. He's a sea walker. He's a blind man healer. He's a way maker. He's a problem solver. He's a rose of Sharon. He's a lily of the valley. He's a bright and morning star. He's the hope of Israel. He's the Son of God. He's Mary's baby. Thank God he's a mediator. He's a dazed man. Thank God between us and God. You know what a dazed man is? He's a referee. Whole crowd boos him. You're out. Boo the whole bunch. Boo. You're out. How are not out? And you're out of the game. He's a man by himself. And nobody with him stands his ground. I'm glad for a dazed man between us and God. Don't compromise with nobody. Well, he spoke to the blind, and the blind man saw. And never was a man like Jesus. He never was a man like Jesus. He never was a man like Jesus. He rolled my burden away. Did he yours? Well, he put him on the cross, but the cross couldn't hold him. He never was a man like Jesus. That's what I was doing down there in Del High. And an old boy got up out of the bed up there, working in the morning tower, raised his window, listened to the gospel, passed the hat from room to room. Now that young man's preaching it down yonder. I don't know who he is, but it makes me think of home. I'm away from home down here, and sent us offering down there, son, on the street corner. Woo! And he spoke to the wind, and the wind obeyed. Never was a man like Jesus. He never was a man like Jesus. He never was a man like Jesus. He rolled my burden away. Couldn't quit nothing. Didn't have the backbone of a red worm. As far as overcoming the devil, I couldn't overcome nothing. But he got in me. I don't know where I'm going to get to preach what I was aiming to or not. If I keep this up, we ain't going to have time for no preaching. Unless we have to get one of them good ones where it could go all night. But now we got behind to do that. We'll have to have somebody fall down the stairs or something, or we can't do it. Amen. Somebody got to fall out a window or something. You've got to be high in the spirit for folks to stay all night with it. I ain't planning on keeping here all night, but I'm glad to be with you. I'm just wondering what you need. I'm just wondering what you need. You know, the Lord understands. The Lord knows.
He knows all about it.
I know a little woman over in Oklahoma was praying for God to help no church in the community. No place to have church. You know, she'd say it. Oh, God, send us a preacher. Send us somebody to help us. Well, tonight in the hills of Oklahoma, my lay Ford rolled up out front and the radiator steaming. Hello, he said. The old man said to the old lady in the house, said, reckon who it is? She said, it ain't nobody but that man of God that God has sent here. All he done is hollered, hello. Said, who are you? I'm a preacher, man. Said, impressed of God to come in this community. And whole revival started in their front room. Started it in their front room. No house, cane bottom church. You know G.W. Bird's song? You heard of G.W.?
Yeah.
His father-in-law got saved at a cane bottom chair in that revival, in that front room. That's right. Got saved at a cane bottom chair. David George, G.W.'s father-in-law. Well, ain't nothing like work, Lord. You can't tell what the Lord will do. I do hope tonight if you're here and you need something, you understand that God can do that.
Yes.
Get up here and give him a chance.
Yes.
Get up here. All right. We're talking from the book of Kings, the fifth chapter. We're going to talk a little more now than we aim to. I mean, I'm not going to read as much as we meant to. But Naaman was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And I never did fully understand that first verse too well, but by him the Lord had given deliverance to Syria. It just made me think maybe that somewhere inside of him there's, he didn't know God at this time, I don't believe, but there's a touch of something in there. By him, the Lord.
Yes.
And he could carry an affliction like leprosy, which just takes off a joint at a time. And it was incurable then. We didn't have anything to cure it with, but it was bad, bad business. And he was the captain of the host. I mean, he was a great fighter. The Syrians had gone out with companies and brought back a little maid. It's terrible to have to be in captivity, but you know, it's a good lesson here in making the best of it where you're at.
Oh, yeah.
We sang a song in Oklahoma, brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Yes, you need to shine where you're at. And this little girl hadn't forgot about home. She hadn't forgot about what was over there. And she said to her mistress, I would God my Lord was with that prophet in Samaria. He would recover him of his leprosy. And one went and told the Lord, his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is out of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 chains of raiment. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. What a request. Came to pass when the king of Israel heard the letter, he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill, make alive? This man doth send me to recover a man of his leprosy. Wherefore, consider, I pray you, see how he seeketh a quarrel with me. He thought he's just seeking a fuss with him so he would have war with him.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about, he thought. But it wasn't. The little maid knew what she was talking about. It was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king had rent his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come to me, and he shall know there's a prophet in Israel. It reminded me of a little track hanging in that cubbyhole back there. I'm acquainted with some folks in Dallas, Texas, and they have several tracks in that box back there. And Sister Dowd in 51 was on a train, a woman, they said, died. They said, she's dead. Looked like she's gone. And she rushed over where she's at on the train. They said, are you a nurse? No. Said, well, you got any shots you could give her to have her? No. But said, I'll tell you what I can do. I can lay hands on her and pray for her, and Jesus can heal her just like that. It's in your box back there. And laid hands on her, and God healed her just like that. And she come to, right back to him, went to crying, and was completely healed. And that old conductor said, I tell you what, you may not be a nurse or a doctor, but you've got something worse quicker than what they've got. Well, here Elisha sent word, and he had something to work. And he said, send him to me, and he'll know there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses in the chariot. He thundered up outside. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him and said, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And you know what he done, don't you? He said, well, I thought, and I'm going to preach tonight a while on Behold, I Thought. I preached about that years ago, and while praying in the basement, oh yeah, I know a bunch of new things, but I just try what I feel like, He said, behold, I thought he'll surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Now, we've got the actions. I know that. I was in one of my saints' homes years ago. I had a church, pastored it 9 years. I don't think a man's harling to stay 9 years. But I was there 9 years, that church, and had a fine old brother in there, and he got bad, and his girl come in from the World Church off the West Coast, said she had the 9 gifts, ain't a living human I've ever met had them. I paid 20 years 3 times a day for 1 gift, never told me or nobody else what it was. I ain't told them yet. But you know, ain't nobody got the 9 gifts. I ain't met nobody that's got the 9 spiritual gifts. Ain't nobody. The church has got them. God's church has got them. You get the church together, they're in there. But ain't no man carry them 9. Lord God, have mercy. 9 gifts. Have mercy here. Glory to God here. But here, she said she had 9 of them. And she had another gift. She had a real thin top on that she needed to put a coat over. And she was on one side of the bed, and I was on the other. Yea, thus saith the Lord, Father, if thou wilt go with me unto California, thou shalt be healed. And I said, yea, thus saith the Lord, Brother McFarland, if you go with her, you'll die miles from your friends. And he did. Well, I thought he would come down and put on a big razzmatazz. Focus, focus, dilly-i-docus, come in the focus deal. I never seen such a bunch of smart aleck show outs trying to make merchandise out of divine healing. It just aggravates me, buddy. Ain't nobody ought to mention money with salvation and money with healing. Never. Never even be allowed to be mentioned close to it. Not a bit. You don't charge nobody for divine healing. God don't do it. Take a man on a cross, die on a thief. Save him, never give a dime to the church. Save him, never giving an offering. Save him, never be able to be baptized in water. Look out, Church of Christ. I can't help it because Jesus saved him. I can't help it because Jesus saved him. I can't help it because he saved him. Saved him. Don't get the cart before the horse. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the one that saved. Why are you putting water in that part? Preach to us like water so holy we ain't got no pure water left in America, hardly. We polluted nearly all of it. We put enough chlorine in there to give us all cancer, but that's the only thing we know to kind of kill them other germs out. But it's been known to cause cancer. Watering. Help me, Lord. I don't want to get messed up here preaching against folks that say ignorant. They think water saves you. The blood of Jesus Christ pouring out of his side there on the rugged cross of Calvary. That's what he bought you with. That's what he washes you with. You might be lost because you won't be baptized, but you can't be saved because you are. Wish you'd listen to me. You might be lost because you won't pay tithes, but you can't be saved because you do. That's not what saves you. I beg your pardon, sir. Giving to the Salvation Army is a good cause, but that will not save you. Giving to the Red Cross is a good cause, but that won't save you. Not but one. I thought he'd come down and put on a big deal. Don't he know who I am? I have got thousands and thousands of dollars with me in an offering for him. He had thousands of dollars with him. Change his raiment. New suits. Who wouldn't want a new suit? Not Elisha. He was busy praying or something, reading Isaiah or writing a letter or something. He said, rush back down. Who is he? Naaman. Mama used to sing, Naaman, oh Naaman, go down by the stream. Go down, go wash in that stream. You know there's people in Indiana that's a stinking stubborn. They wouldn't do what God told him. If he told him to back up that mountain over yonder, walk up it backwards and he'd heal them, they wouldn't do it. That's true. You know what's the matter with them? I'm going to preach on, behold, I thought. Well, I thought, I know it. I ain't smart now, but I've had 9 of them. And I never had one, didn't have that thought business in the road in it. I thought he'd come down here, strike his hand over that, command that water show. We ought to get a picture of this now. We ought to put that in a month of publication. Don't want to miss this now. Get a shot of this. Amen. That's our modern world.
But that ain't the way God does it.
Well, he said, tell him to go wash in Jordan, dip 7 times. Got mad as far. Well, I mean mad then. He got angry. Went off in a rage. Why, he could tear men's heads off when he got in that. He's like that old boy down in Texas told my preacher friend, said, I'm going to whip you. He said, you want me to lay down?
Finally, one of his servants, been with him for years and years, said, Master, 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 hold it, back up just a little. We know that Abaddon Pharpar is prettier water than a Jordan, but if he'd have told you to do some great thing, he'd told you to go kill 100 Philistines, you'd done it. He'd go told you to march 50 miles over and whoop that bunch, you'd have done it. But all he told you to do is go dip in Jordan. Well, you know, when you got his steam down, he kind of backed down on it and said, you know, he's like Chesapeake Truedale. Just said, if I have to get the Holy Ghost right on my back, I'll never get it. How's that the night she got it? I wish you'd guess how she's fixed. Just as decent as any woman walking, but she's flat off her back. You're going to get it God's way or you ain't going to get nothing. Why don't you go down there and slip down? Have you been to Israel, Hassel? Did you see Jordan? Is the banks muddy or is it a muddy river or is it a dirty-looking river? How's it? Most of it's clear. It's down around the Dead Sea. It's muddy. I just want to talk to a man that's seen. Have you been over there? You've seen too. Well, he didn't want to go down. It wasn't as good a water for where he come from. And he didn't want to go down, but he did, and dipped 7 times, and looked at his skin. Now, I always preach a few things that ain't in the Bible. Oh, I do. I have for years. I take that leftovers, them 7 baskets full and 12 baskets full, and I send them back home with them. They took them somewhere. He said, don't let nothing be lost. And he couldn't write it all down. The world wouldn't have held the books if he wrote down everything he'd done. So I just talk a little about things that ain't in the Bible. So I haul it back home. I have old grandpa back there couldn't go and asked your grandson, where have you been? Said, well, I've been a following man called Jesus. Well, who's he? Said, he come out of Galilee up there. Heard a fellow say, is any good thing can come out of there? But said, there's a good thing got to come out of there. Kind of like Sand Gap, Kentucky. You wouldn't think anything good come out of there either, but there has. Yeah, there has. Glory to God, I've met a bunch of them. I've met some of them Briar Harpers. Hallelujah!
Yes, sir.
I haven't given grandpa a piece of that fish and bread. Well, I've got Grandpa eating that, and he said, my son, it's going down through me into my bones. He said, that lumbago's leaving me. I never eat nothing like it in all my life. Who'd you say give it to you? Said a man called Jesus. Well, I feel like the Israelites did when they went for 40 years, and it wasn't a feeble one amongst them. I feel like Elijah did when he went the strength of that meat for 40 days on 2 little meals. You get to eating right, you can go a lot longer. You can go from Wednesday to Sunday and still have it. You can go from one revival to the next and still be saved. I'm amazed the modern-day church world can't last from Sunday to Wednesday. You eat what Elijah did, you can go in the strength of it for a long time. You get in with that man of God when he preaches. In the next 2-3 services you have, if you get a chance to say anything, you'll say, I'm rejoicing over that message that man preached. That went up and down my 5th rib. I'm rejoicing over that. I'm going to have to hurry. Pray, Hassel. I've got to put this in overdrive. I'm preaching a little while if I can ever get to it. And behold, I thought. And it's the way I thought it would be. I know it. That's what's in the road. Get out of the road. We had a fellow down home in a church. I pastored his mother and father. Went clear through school. Never could learn to read. I mean, how they put him to. He wasn't getting all the grades, but he got older and older, and he wanted to keep going. And he could do some things, but he couldn't read. He could not read. He couldn't sit down and read to you. Had a family, married, made a living. Wasn't crazy, couldn't read. X-rayed him. Said, that brain is dead that causes you to be able to read that part of it. Y'all listen to me? I'm preaching on behold, I thought. I tell you how I'd have done it. I know it. Had to run us in the creek, too. Behold, I thought ain't going to get it done. We got to do it like God said it. We never will get it done. You've been in the hospital 30 days and you're so mad at the preacher you could eat him? Folks ain't been to see you. He don't know you're there. You've missed every other service for a year and a half. He don't know what you've missed, and ain't Suzuki again. You didn't call him, tell him you're sick. You didn't call him, tell him to anoint your soul and come pray for you. You do like God said, or you won't have what he told you could have. Is any sick among you? And call the elder church. Come down here, brother, I'm sick. He'll come. You have to go to the hospital, go with you. Pray for you all the time you're up there. But just I thought business, what's God on? I tell you what, I think that. I tell you how to hold it. You know why God can't bless sometimes? We got too many thinkers and not enough doers. We had Bristol every year over there, and we went in the black $45, $17,000 meeting, and we went in the black $45. That's a miracle. Just crept over the hump into the black $45. I look for the can-dos. I don't even look for the can't-dos. I wouldn't trade one can-do for 45 can't-dos. I'm going to try to get back to behold I thought. Do you ever have thoughts getting a load and God couldn't use you or help you or nothing? You studied so much, you thought you knew everything about what you're going to preach, but God didn't even want that preach. When the Holy Ghost finally got a hold of it, he said, I thought, but I see now that won't work. Help us right now, Lord. I don't know where I'll help you. That old boy went to church in Kellyville, Oklahoma, and God said to him, if he be prayed for 7 times tonight, I'll heal you. Now listen to me. He got prayed for 7 times right there that night. Well, I got prayed for 2 times. How many times Doc Brown gave you shots? Once a week for 10 years. Well, I'd take a little more. I'm not making fun of sickness, Clarence, but praise God here. We got to give God a chance in our thoughts. We've got to give God a chance. I know a black woman that went to church at 12 at night. You ever been to church at the dark? I was out here pitch dark this morning, squeaks and squawks. There's ghosts all over here. Ghosts through the whole place. I went and stayed all night in church of prayer and said, get up, look, he's right behind you. He's got a knife. He knows you're in here and he's come to rob you. I had to pray all of that out. What about a woman up there praying like that? I mean, that's spooky, boy. If you ever tried it, I've done it. I know. But you know, that black woman, they kind of scared of some of them. Yes, of course, a lot of folks are scared too. But she's a black woman. Bad heart. Bad heart. You come a little late to tell me. I wish you had the rich man's part here saying that. Come a little late to tell me. You ain't no use messing me. I know God heals that stuff. I'm not a great healer, but I know God heals that stuff. You hear me? We can get our thoughts put aside sometimes. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they think. I want to try to do what God's Spirit leads me to do. She stayed in about between 12 and daylight. She said, power of God come upon me and said, I'll give you a new heart. And when she said that, she hollered. And I was going down the road in a bold car. And she said, ever since that day, the Spirit had been saying, higher. And when she hollered higher, I like to jerk from step from out from under the steering wheel. I couldn't help it. I saw the car stayed right where it ought to. Went right down the road. And there I was in the front seat. And we'd have one of them hey, 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 hey meetings. She said, it's been 16 years. Ever since that day, the Spirit's saying, higher. I like that. So when you get into it, remember that, will you? You get up against it, listen, Steve, can't hear a voice saying, higher, higher. That's the reason Hamburger Ridge was such a terrible war. And them boys went for the high ground. And their commanders told them to get the high ground. I told my own boys, we've up 112,000 feet high in them Rockies. I said, when I go, boys, if you can get back to the mountain sometime, get them high as you can and holler, Daddy, as loud as you can. And listen, you may hear me, boy. Holler. Prayed for him 7 times. Picked the Bible up, Kellyville, Oklahoma. Looked down at it. Reads more distinctly than I ever thought about reading. Reads slow and distinct and reads every word. Been doing it ever since. Been years ago. Watch the Lord work. I'm drifting from I had this lined up so it'd make sense like it's all together. But I'll tell you something. I thought I'd go down to church that night, did you? What happened after that? I ain't got time for you all to tell, but it worked different than you thought it would, didn't it? You ain't one of them said, I'm going to go up and do like that. Said, kneel down on that floor before Hankship and quietly pray, our Father which art in heaven. No! Did the Baptist has got the Holy Ghost in Oklahoma, all over Oklahoma, and spoke with other tongues. They got over what they thought, and the power of God worked on them. Like, we got some folks down there that's done got their thoughts in the way bad, but when they get bad sick, they're calling for them people that believe in healing. Let them shouters in here. I don't care if they don't believe, let them in here. They're the only people I know who pray for folk to get healed. Watch the Lord work now. Watch him. He said, I'll go back to the doctor, be x-rayed again, so we can have proof that I'm healed. Watch the Lord work now. Watch him work. A lot of folks want heaven and no cross. Heaven and no consecration. Heaven and no dedication. They don't add this to the treasures like that rich boy did. He thought he'd like to have it. Been good all his life. He said, sell what you got and give it to the poor and follow me. Uh-oh.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Had his thoughts had him messed up. Went back to the doctor and said, would you x-ray me again, please? Sure will, son. X-rayed him, checked him all out, and brought him in the consultation room in a great, great position, and one of his helpers sat down with him. Now, my friend, it's pitiful to have to tell you. We hate to have to inform you that your brain is still dead and you'll never in the world be able to read. He's like the old woman smoking on the chair car. They told us you couldn't, but you said I'm doing it anyhow, you know. He's already reading. And he went back to get proof he was healed. He couldn't even prove he's healed. Well, if you can't prove you're healed, just go on healed anyhow.
Yeah,
right. Amen. Well, you say if God healed him, the x-ray would have showed that that his mind was healed. No, no. Watch the Lord work now. See? Amen. Oh, but Brother Moore, you ought to be able to explain it. Oh, well, good then. How does a tadpole shed his tail and make a jumping frog? How does a firefly turn his tail light on and off?
Right.
If we could find that out, we wouldn't have to have underground lines. If we could get lights like that, we wouldn't have to have no batteries or nothing. He works, don't he? Hundreds of them in Oklahoma just fly by you and turn his light on and off as it goes by. I just catch them, tear them apart, and stick it on my finger, wear it like the scent in the rain, you know, shine at night. I can wear it around at night, shine. You ain't getting nowhere with an eternal, immortal Jehovah God that sent the earthquake yesterday. Did your paper say it? Did you read your paper? The Cincinnati paper? They had no explanation because there's no fault through there where that earthquake's taking place. They says evidence something happened, but they can't figure it out. I've been in Yellowstone. They ain't had a far in 100 years like they have out there. One day you're going to send four angels and say, hold back the four winds. They will, angel, hold back 300 mile an hour winds. Hold back the wind of a hurricane. Could give New York City electricity for a straight year. If we could harness the energy out of one giant hurricane, they can light the lights of New York City for a year with the electricity, they tell me. That's what men supposed to know say. Angel, hold back the wind. You don't believe in God? You run crazy. It won't be long to put you in an insane asylum. They'll have to commit you. You don't believe in God. Ooh. Have mercy. That old boy still living down in Oklahoma and still reads. But he can't. But he can. I know him. All right. He went and washed. And when he come back, Naaman come up to Elisha and said, let me give you a good offering. No, he said. But he wasn't putting on no. He wasn't just being modest about it. He said, now, I appreciate the offering here tonight. It takes money to live. I know that. But look at this man of God. Nobody going to go back to Syria. Say, I paid that spook or whatever he is down there to heal me. I paid that old boy that down there in Israel to heal me. I paid for it. He got the money out of it. Said, here's... I mean, he had thousands and thousands of dollars with it. He had talents of silver, talents of gold. He had loaded with it. He said, come on, take it.
He's the kind of preacher that'll walk down the road and have God with him as he had to ride in a jet airplane and lose the Lord. I didn't say you lose the Lord if it on 50 of them, but I mean, there's some folks that trade their experience with God for a little dab of gold. They would do it, boys. They've done it.
I'd rather drive that old Model T we used to have that you had to crank the right rear wheel up and run it round and round to start it. Crank it till you give out on the front end and lay down about to die. Seem like one more crank. Go to run. I'd rather put up with that and have God.
Did you know in Oklahoma, children, this whole county didn't have a doctor in it when I was a young preacher? He couldn't make a living. I'm not talking about no people. I'm talking about everybody farmed and had 10, 11 children, 12 children. He couldn't make a living, and he had to move out of the county and go to some place like New York or Dallas or somewhere because there's so many praying people had so much faith in God till they prayed the prayer of faith for everything. That's when Raymond T. Ritchie had to pray the prayer of faith for broke legs. That was when Jack Cole was a praying people out of everything they had. I mean, that's before he got in the money deal. I think he died saved at that. Let me say it. I think he died saved at that. I mean, he repented. He told Juanita, I missed it. I've done the wrong thing. L.D. Savage's wife attended his church. Jack had it when it started. God, he preached holiness so stout till he'd walk out. I've been in the meeting with him when he said, there goes 12 out, but here comes 12 more in. Said, that ain't bad, is it? I've heard him do it. Walking with God causes the power of God to be in communities. We've got our thoughts in the Lord. I've never seen so many books on so many foolish things in all my life. I'm not against good books. There's some good books. I like good books. But I'm going to tell you what, if we had a book burning tonight like they did in the book of Acts and burn everything we don't need, we'd have the office bonfire you ever seen in the history of the world. Burn that foreign old stuff and all that. I don't know where we got this idea that you got to write a book on every verse in the Bible and thoroughly explain it or folks can't live for God. All you have to do is get under conviction from the Holy Ghost and cry out to God, scream like a pig under the gate, and repent of your sin, and Jesus will save you. You don't have to go through 14 courses to be saved either. I'm preaching on Behold Thy Thought. I'm telling the truth. You, I know you ain't there where it's happening. You don't know whether I'm telling you the truth about all this or not, but I am. I've got a friend held a meeting in Texas. Fellow brought a violin case every night, set her down against the wall. I'm acquainted with the fellow. I preached with this man that was in the meeting. He said one evening the airport wasn't far from us, Brother Moore, and he said I saw four men walk in, sat down in the back seat, and they had rented a car, had a layover till the next morning, going to catch a flight out, and they rented a car at the airport, and some good saints, you never know what, they'll say, don't do no good, don't pay no attention to that. Don't let them thoughts get in your mind. Doing something for Jesus don't work, don't amount to nothing. Why, he'll pay a man's way to Africa and back one fella just to witness to one little black boy down there. Yeah, God will do it. No, he'll do it. I know it by my own experience. God sent me a lot of places just to preach one little message. Somebody put a sign down in the airport. Revival, Holiness Church, 5 blocks down. This old boy, one of them said, I ain't never been to a meeting like that. If you said no, let's go down. Texas, Texans. I preach a lot in Texas. Go down there to my brother's meeting. I'll tell you his name in a minute if you want it. I just didn't do it because he might. I don't think he'd care for me telling his name on this tape, but I'm a personal friend of his. Lives down in Missouri. Preaches all the time. Old man now, 67. He said, Brother Moore, they sat on the back seat that night. And he said, I said the pastor had already asked him, what's that violin case doing being brought in every night and sat down over there? He said, I can't tell you. You'll find out. You'll find out. He said, that night, the spirit failed. Power of God fell like it used to do on the Methodists when they got the jerks. You didn't know they did? They did. Like did the Southern Baptists when they shouted so loud the preachers couldn't preach. Amen. Our modern day church world acts like we've never done that. Yes, they have.
All right. Yeah.
They have too.
Yes, they have.
I went to falling, and this old boy brought that every night, made a run for that. Opened it up and got a cowbell out.
Run all over that whole church at that. Them four that had never been in the Holiness Church had never been saved, come to the altar and got saved before he quit ringing her.
I'm back this. Behold, I thought. If I'd have been there, I'm sure if I wasn't careful, I'd have thought, what in the world is he doing a ringing a cowbell in the house of God?
And straight-laced as I am, I'd have probably told him, honey, put the bell up. We can't hear it thunder for it. That's the reason he never did ring it till he felt just right. He knowed he couldn't hear nothing else. Wicked when he got saved. After these boys got saved, grown men, one of them called him up there in the brother evangelist's presence. Said, say, said, how come you ringing out like that? I just never seen nothing like that. Well, he said, I was mean as a snake. Low down as a whale's belly. Wicked and away from God. I got saved, couldn't do nothing. Couldn't whistle or sing or nothing. Couldn't play no guitar, piano, or beat a tambourine or nothing. Lord, he said, is there anything in the world I can do for you? Just love to do a little something. He said, God showed me that bell. Told me how much I'd have to pay for it and where it was at. Went down there at that little catch-all store, that little trader, that little, you know, one of them little deals, like a flea market deal. Went in, and there it was. He said, you put it in a violin case, and you take it to church. And don't you ever get that out till you feel the Spirit moving on you. He said, he don't do it often, but when he does, it tears us all to pieces. Can't you hear that bell ringing up and down them aisles? Ooh. Make me think of a song I heard 40 years ago. I hear the bells of bells of ringing sound like angels, angels singing, angels singing songs of peace and jubilation. Had no voice to them could sing that. They could make it right. Hear the bells of bells of ringing sound like angels, angels singing songs of peace and jubilation. The whole life of, you ever have your thoughts getting away, buddy? God tell you to do something, you tried to reason it out, and you got to come out of the will of God. If you'd have went on and done it, you'd have felt better. Got to listen. I want to have to hurry. I can't get away from Naaman. But Gehazi had some thoughts. And after Elisha wouldn't have the money, and that old boy said, well, let me load two of these donkeys up with earth. Burden of earth. Take it back with me. You know why I did? Because of Exodus 20:21. Thou shalt build an altar of earth, and upon it thou shalt sacrifice the sacrifices, and I will bless thee. I believe it's Exodus 20:21. I believe Exodus 20:24. He wanted to take that dirt from Israel back. Build, you know what he said? Listen to it. Naaman said, shall not then I pray thee be given thy servant two mules burden of earth, that thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Read that. Would you got that? I want you to read that for me. In Exodus 20 and 24. He'll get that. He's hauling this dirt back. He ain't going to worship like they do in the house of Rimmon, and he mentions them here in a minute. He's not going to be an idol worshiper. He's going to worship like God told him to. Did you ever caught that thought, sir? Read that good and loud.
And an altar of earth thou shalt make unto thee, and thou shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offering, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and will bless thee.
Make an altar of earth. And that's what he's fixing to do. He's taking this dirt back from Israel. He's going to build him altar up there. And he said, now when my master, he said, goes into the house of Rimmon in 18th verse, that's idol God to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant this thing. You know, I don't mean it, God. I'm just going in there because I'm under him, and he's the king, and I'm subject to him, and I'm his captain of his army. And the Lord pardon me when I go in there. I'm hardly in it. You ever been where your heart wasn't in it? Well, his wasn't in it. When he bowed down and said, I bow my head out of respect to him, pardon me. He took that dirt back so he could have meeting over at the house and offer his sacrifices down there on that altar, and God had blessed him. I'm preaching on, behold, I thought, my, how much longer you'll have to stay. I got verse after verse after verse to preach at. Yeah. If you feel like it, stand up, wave your arm, and sit back down so you'll be relaxed again. I hope I can get as interesting as a 2-hour football game on the television. Yeah.
How you doing? What are you doing with that crutch? Yeah, I forgot to hit me.
Don't you wish you could go to church where they wouldn't say anything, wouldn't think of nothing, do everything to please you? Thoughts is what's got the minister stopped from preaching what God wants them to preach.
All right. Sure does.
says, I had a wrong thought. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll beat it up the road, get a good offering from him. Elisha don't seem to know. I just go buy the bread and stuff here. He run up there and said, there's some people come in on us. And some visitors said, would you mind giving us a loan? Why? I'll load you down that much you want. Yes, he said, sure, take some change of raiment and take a bunch of stuff. He took it back, sneaked it into the house, sneaked it back in, and he come in and stood in the presence of Elisha. I don't want to be a dummy. I have been a few times. Oh, I hate to pastor church and find out somebody's wicked as snake in there and I didn't know it. That's bad. No, the Lord never did cause me to embarrass folks. I was preaching a meeting in Missouri the other day and called a man and woman's name, never did know it. I said, you know, you call a man and woman's name while you're preaching. I said, no. He said, there's here too. I could get a whooping over that. I never did know him called it. Never did know it. I tell you. We got some folks standing amongst us, got the wrong thoughts, and they've done the wrong thing. Ain't nobody said nothing. And that ain't the way it ought to be. God's preachers don't want to go out and whoop people, ball people out, and make fun of them. That ain't what they're sent for. I'm going to tell you what they ought to be able to do. If you robbed a bank and you're sitting here, ought to be close enough to say, son, you better make that right tonight. Get you a chance to get saved, you see. But here stood Gehazi. He walked in and stood there. He said, where have you been? Why, thy servant went no whither. I can't say it much better in our language, but I love Bible language. But your servant hasn't been nowhere. Win not mine heart with thee. Don't worry. Is it a time to accept gifts? Oh, God's going to get you for that. God's going to get you for that. You can't get by. I know you're trying. Oh, it's getting close. I'm preaching on the whole I thought. Have mercy. The leprosy of Naaman was the bottom line claim to you, and he went out of Elisha's presence a leper. You know what? Some folks have paid a mighty big price for what's wrong with them. If I had time, I'd get over here in Deuteronomy and read about that incurable disease. He said it'll come on you, and all the diseases of the Egypt will come on you, and that botch you was afraid of will come on you, and an incurable disease, he said, come on. Like the herpes or the AIDS or something like that. Something like that. Where'd that come from? Who invented that? Who sent the herpes and AIDS? Who invented that? That's a judgment of God against immorality. And it always breaks out quicker against immorality than does anything else. Won't have to hurry because I'm not preaching good enough for you. But look here. He got the leprosy. Well, in Genesis, the Genesis 6th chapter and the 5th verse, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. That's all he thought is evil. It looked like they could invent something that wasn't so evil to me. I got in a heart in Louisiana preaching the other day, and the boy said, Brother Moore, is anything wrong with them games? I said, what kind of games? That's been a while back. And I'm not well versed in a bunch of stuff. I'm not quite like that preacher friend of mine was that picked that hitchhiker up and he picked him up and went down the road with him and the World Series was on. And he said to Utter, he said, flip on the World Series there. He said, what? World Series, man, said it's on. Couldn't turn the radio on and let me hear the World Series, would you? Boy, he said, I don't know what the World Series is. What is it? He said, you've got to be joking. He'd been evangelist 40 years, he'd been dead 15 years now, and he didn't even know what to... He is so far out of connection, he didn't know what the World Series was. Well, I'm not saying... I don't want you just to be fanatic, but just be a Christian, and they'll call you fanatic. Yeah. Amen?
That's right.
Thoughts of the hearts was evil continually. Everything they make and everything they do. Everything. Can't get up to... Check out at your grocery store, out them old foreign magazines there, are some of them crazy, far-out idiot things. Seven-headed baby born to a woman in Africa. Don't tell me they don't do it. They'll blow up them things and put the most unreasonable thing. Woman has baby by alien from outer space. It's there. I read them. I ain't bought them to read them, but I see them right by the cash register. Can't even go buy your groceries without having to pass up a gob of beer, you know. You got entice you. Put it in little bottles and color them and put pop in them. Just like beer bottles, so get your children used to drinking out of that kind of a bottle. Psychologists and psychiatrists wrecking our world, spending millions on psychiatrists and psychologists. And I say to you, sir, they're not worth the snap of your finger. Get mad. That'll be good for you. Listen, I've been around. I'm not smart. Now, I'm not a bit. But I'm acquainted with psychologists. I personally know one the other day said, I'm into it, but my 20-year-old boy, and don't know what in the world to do with him. I don't know what we're going to do with him. Every patient he has sent from the government will pay $90 an hour to him for him, 60 to 90. He says to every one of them, they say, when can I get out of this counseling? Said, you'll probably have to have it the rest of your life. Well, if I was getting $50 to $90 an hour, I'd tell them the same thing, if I was wicked as they was. Ain't no hope in the world for a psychologist or a psychiatrist to help you out of your sins and the depression you're under because you've got your thoughts messed up. Come to God's altar. Put your life in His hand. Let Him brainwash you with the blood of Christ. You don't have to have it. Know what I'm talking about. Every court's got them lined up. Every lawyer's got one of them. And they got the money going his way and the money coming this way. They try to pay a parallel to Jesus Christ. Confess everything you've ever done to Him. If you hold anything back, you're not telling it all. Well, why not tell it all to God and tell Him to go soak? I know what the devil did. I come through Arkansas, got it right here in my mouth. I didn't know I was going to talk so long. It's too early to quit, though. Have mercy. But you know what? I come through Arkansas the other day, cut a clipping out. I have it right in there right now. Psychologist studies the mind, what makes it work, makes it decision, all that stuff, see. And he had a big business down in Arkansas. And he had a big crowd gathered and gave him a big award for his great help to the community. He said, this is a good time to tell him. He said, I am a homo. And he came out of the closet that night. And he said, I felt real good ever since I confessed to him what I am. And I'm proud of it. He has been their psychologist now for years and years and got folks wrapped up in it. I'm going to tell you again now. I don't want you to get mad. Don't you waste no money going to a psychologist or psychiatrist. I never seen that. You go to college now, you've got to study human behavior. You got to study books on psychology. That's all that is to lead you away from the Creator. Lead you into humanism and a bunch of junk that don't matter anything, rather than face facts and put yourself in the hands of God and turn your thoughts over to Him. I'm preaching on the whole I thought tonight. I thought that worked. I thought this worked. I thought alcohol worked. I thought throwing no more tap worked. I thought get baptized in water, that worked. You'd be like old Henry Metzger. You go down to a wet sinner and come up a hypocrite, half drunk when he's taking offering after he got baptized, half drunk. He's trying to get out of that, but they got him down. Church wouldn't even let him kneel, a modern church. Baptized in water. Send him a note every month he's supposed to pay 10%. And pull Henry take offering when he's half drunk then. I tell you what I think. I think we better come by the cross. I think we better come by the altar. Let me talk to you. You got family trouble? Who are you talking to about it? Well, I thought we'd work it out. You ain't going to work it out. Huh? Well, we're doing a little dancing, partying together, and we made it up. You're going to tire it up again, too. You keep that dancing, partying up, drinking that eye and another man or woman. He's going down the drain with you. I love you, but I want to tell you what. Let's hear the Bible. I'm going to have. But their thoughts was evil continually all the time. Let me tell you about that boy. I said, take me where that machine's at. Took me down to Safeway grocery store in Louisiana. You know how the devil does? We don't sell booze in here. No. But the world tries to entice the church. They'll sell the Bible. They'll sell religious books. And anything they can sell, set right in their beer if they have to get our people in there with that. There's a difference. We ain't like them. We ain't supposed to be like them. Amen. He went down there and he stuck a quarter in the machine. I believe it was a quarter. And I stood there with him. Preacher's boy. He loved me. He wasn't wicked. Pull that thing. And here come a gobbler. eating everything in front of it. I said, great God, that's the devil. I know that right now. That's the way he does. And he said, I hardly ever put any money in these things. And stepped around to that girl to cash there. She said, you want a bunch more quarters, son? You're out of them again? Ooh, doesn't make it a liar out of him. Doesn't make it a liar out of him. I went in another store, and there's a young lady running one of them things, and she threw her leg up for it, and she grabbed it. I'm not exaggerating a bit. One old boy got so mad he just swatted it, and the woman ran the place and said, get out! If you ever come back again, I'll have you arrested. You're beaten by the... I thought we were going to have bloody fights. I'm not exaggerating a bit. I said, son, stick your quarter in your pocket. Save your money and buy a box of 22 shells. And go to the woods and kill this squirrel. Take it home, skin it, and cook it and eat it. Get something for your money. Hideous thing I've ever... I wish I could get to the hole. I thought I never thought about getting such a deal as this. But you know when the devil knows you wouldn't get a TV and move it in your home, son, look at all that. He moved that movie store in down there for $2 a piece. You can get them old ungodly movies, bring it up there and buy it in your home. Folks don't know you got it. Take it back and take it in. Don't tell me he's not making plans to send men to hell. It tires folks' homes all to pieces to get that sex literature in the home and read that stuff. I wasn't going this way at all. I was going to stay as smooth as butter. I know women that's got love magazines under their bed. They've been reading. Got 2 and 3 children. What are you fixing to do, girl? Who are you hunting? We got boys in Oklahoma reads Playboy. Got it put away. Testifying to holiness. I ain't fighting nobody, but you don't get your thoughts straightened out, they're going to straighten you out, and you ain't going to be right with God. They're going to mess you up. Oh, have mercy. Ooh, now you're afraid I'm going to take down on. I ain't mad at nobody. I'm going to tell you one thing. The thought line in America is completely crooked. People are so warped till they say, well, just do your own thing. You can go to heaven just like anybody else. Not one word of toot in the world in that. Why, I say, Brother Moore, I know the Catholics is getting the Holy Ghost, baptized the Holy Ghost. They are. Well, when did the Pope of Rome ever apologize for killing 3 million Christians? If they ever get saved, they'll apologize and beg forgiveness for murdering 3 million of our Christians. Yeah. Wine, sipping, cigar, sucking, and got the Holy Ghost. Don't believe it. Brother Oral Roberts, when his daddy was preaching for me in Oklahoma, and Oral first started, he had it. And he told the people in his prayer line, I was in his first meeting. His father and I rode to Ada to the camp meeting together. Oral said, come out of that world of church and quit that world of living and get in a church that preaches God's Bible. I know all what right. I'm saying.
All right.
That's what we're on the same day, brother.
Yeah. We got to come out.
Yeah. Behold, I thought.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Church of Christ got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Father, they didn't speak another time down there in their church. If they did... If they did, they weren't living right. I didn't say they didn't all live right. I didn't say there wasn't some honest people among the Catholics that need help. I didn't say that. But I say the hierarchy, the leaders of that bunch. I know where I live in Oklahoma. Come on down if you don't believe me. I'll show you. I come through Effingham, Indiana. They had a carnival the other night. I stayed all night in a motel there. Running Ferris wheels across the street over there. Well, I don't make a big deal out of running a Ferris wheel. I mean, that's just running. I can't see that's a great deal there. If you put one up in the cow pasture, I'd be glad to ride it myself. But I just don't like to go down on the midway at the fair where they got strip-teased woman and the world's fattest man, the world's skinniest woman, and a whole bunch of other gambling stuff. See, I mean, I ought to be sensible. No way to know. Make no wrong about your children riding a little pony around the circle, but it's when it's down in amongst them dope peddlers and all that bad environment, move it out, praise God, on the farm and ride up. I said, what are they doing over there? Said, the Catholic Church is having a carnival and they're selling beef sandwiches and beer. I said, what? Beer? Black boy in Voice. The Voice is a publication of Full Gospel Businessmen Association. Your latest little booklet of The Voice. There's a black boy in there. He makes well over $200,000 a year playing football. Drove nearly all night back home with his wife to see her folks. when he got there, started, couldn't hardly make it, got there up in the late in the evening. That's when he got there. Drove, finally got there late. Paul said, you got to go down to church. Said, they're having a dance down there tonight. It's in the Voice, the latest publication, the Full Gospel Businessmen Association. Get it and read yourself. I'm preaching on Behold, I thought. Thought I could get away with it. I thought it'd be all right. God didn't like it. He went down to that dance, didn't want to go, drank beer with his friends, got drunk, ruined that knee. They've operated on that. They don't know for sure whether they'll be able to play football anymore or not. All over the church, dance and beer party. The church.
Help us, Lord. Well, bless his heart. Here he is in Isaiah 55:7.
Let the wicked forsake his way. Get out of it. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him. To our God, he'll abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways. My ways is the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. What about it? I notice in Isaiah 65:2, they walketh after their own thoughts. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, I know a closer place. I'll just go there. No, if you get what God won't have, you go where he told you to go. Amen. I lied to old brother, a preacher friend of mine, I won't call his name, might not want me to, but he drove up to the Baptist churchyard the other day. Drove up, got out, and he hoofed around, he's 83, he hoofed around there in the Baptist churchyard. Preacher come out and said, who are you? Said, I'm so-and-so. Said, are you a preacher? He said, yes. Said, but something told me to ask you to preach for us tonight. The Lord. He did. He's holy. He's good. He preached, told him God could heal him. Five or six ladies said they want to be prayed for. Step in that prayer room, he said. He knew what he's doing. One of them, I told you here, 16 years, deaf in that ear. He said, never done it like Brother Moore. God done looked at her and said, Satan, come out of her ear in the name of Jesus. Said she is healed. Run out in the auditorium. 300 people in there. Run all over. Said, I'm healed by the power of God. Pastor rushed in there. He prayed for another woman. 6 months to live. God knocked her to the floor. Laying there. When pastor walked in, she raised up her head. He said, what's going on in here? Said, ask her. She said, just been healed. He said, we don't believe it here. Oh, woo! I'm glad folks' thoughts don't stop God from working. I don't believe it. Happening anyhow. Huh? I can't believe it's happening anyway. You know the Lord's helping you, sister. Did you know it? He is helping you. Why, a woman couldn't do what that woman was to do if God wasn't helping her. He's helping her. Like an old clerk. Clarence will be an old line if he keeps on. Praise the Lord. Helping us, Clarence. Yeah. 83. Pastor said, we don't believe in it, but said the woman out in the audience is healed. Said, we know she's healed. We believe her. We know her. Know she's been deaf all in years. A ruptured eardrum. No good, but she's healed. She's listening out of it. Preacher friend of mine left, and the preacher wrote him. Said, tell me about this. Write me something about it. You know what that old-time preacher done? He just wrote him and said, the first thing you need to do is get saved. Would you be willing to give up your thoughts, knowing God's thoughts is higher than your thoughts, and your ways is higher than his ways, and let God help you? It's been my happy privilege a few times for the Lord to interrupt my thoughts. I drive down the road and going back from Springdale, Arkansas, to Oklahoma, and the Lord said, you turn off when you get up there to Prague, and you go to J.B. White's house again. His wife is sick. She's had another heart spell. Well, when I got there, turned up the road, started up to his house, he met me coming down in a car. Brother Moore, you got the call, did you? What do you mean? Said, I called your wife. She's sitting up there. And said, told her, have you prayed for wife? She's never had another bad heart attack. She's still home, but she's had a bad heart attack. Said, you got the call. That's the reason you're coming up here. No, sir. I ain't heard nothing from home. While I was driving up the road, the Lord said, you go up there. What'd you do, Brother Moore? Well, you see, I had thought problems. I mean, God was in my mind. That's the reason Frank Pennington said, the Holy Ghost got my mind. My mind is gone. First time he sung, it's the funniest song I ever heard. said, the Holy Ghost got his mind, his mind's gone. Well, it better another mind. Mind's right. I went in. What'd you do, Brother Moore? I went into her room. No, I never prayed for her. Wasn't time to pray for her. Lord done told me what to do. You know how to pray if he tells you. Get out of them traps. And you know, with this brother, we got somebody sick, and he's going to come, and this is going to come, and this is going to come, and this is going to come, and that is going to come, and the brother over there is going to come. And they get in there one at a time. And Sister Throckmorton's laying here sick. Well, the first one to pray for, power of God falls on her. She said, I'm healed by the power of God. Shows the world. I feel it all over me. I'm healed. But 15 minutes later, the other one comes in. Well, we must have him pray for to hold it. Now, we're going to kick God in the face here now. Man, that's the silliest thing. We get the silliest thoughts going, playing favorites and swapping prayers. I don't want none of that. You get healed, shout out of there. And if there's 14 more preachers come, don't let a one of them pray for you. Not a one. Don't pour no more oil on them. Tell them to shout, God's healed. I got it done, told them what to do, and I went in her room and I said, Sister, it's not your time to die. In the name of God, it's not your time to die. She lived years long. You ever meet Curly Mayfield? And you know Curly, didn't you, Curly Mayfield? Preach here? How many heard Curly preach here? I don't put the pastor up. I just want to see. I know what he told too. I just want to see several witnesses, so I don't look for witnesses. You know. Curly went down the other day for surgery. Hadn't had a doctor in 80 years. No record of any doctor. Took him to the hospital, operated on him, going to do a surgery. It wasn't too a major surgery, but a heart blockage took place. Blood clot hit his heart. Said he's dying. Went into his heart. Looked sure like he'd die. Took him out. Had him on everything. Trying to live. Had to rush him back four times before it was over. Old man. Way back in Walker's Holler in Kentucky. You boy know where Walker over Hazard? Walker's Holler? Walker Branch? Walker Branch. You know where it is. Back up there in the house. No phone. Them pretty bad boys up there. Stand in the middle of the road to park the car. At the wheel, it took notes to move. Dare you tell them to move? I didn't tell them to move. It's bad. It's bad business, I mean. Well, I was up there and come to me in the night, said, Colonel Mayfield's down. I went to prayer, and God said, it's not his time to die. I said, he's 80, Lord. Said, it's not his time to die. But God told me. Come back to Memphis, Tennessee, called hospital and said, is any of the Mayfields there? Yes, said, Jerry, Curly's boy's here. Jerry, is your daddy alive? Just barely, Brother Moore. Don't look like it's changed for him. Look like he's gone. Can he understand you? Can he hear anything? Yes. Go to him and whisper in his ear and say, L.D. said it wasn't time to die, to live in the name of God. You've got to help us dedicate this new church. You've got to live and do some more yet. It's not your time, Curly. Called back a few hours later, still on the road trying to get home. I said, what about it now? When I told him that, Brother Moore, Daddy took a deep breath. He said, when you said fight back, it's not your time to die. He went to struggling to live. You know what Curly's doing? He's walking the floor. He's putting his clothes on his home again. Went back to the two specialists that worked on him and said, say, I'm not happy. I ain't getting along fast as I want to. Always been an active man. They laughed in his face. Said, you're doing better than you could ever imagine. Said, you're coming near dying as any man we ever dealt with. I don't do them things. I'm talking about God knows. Behold, I thought. Look here. I preached in the other college church the other day. There's a mother in his church. It's grieving herself to death over her boy. Lost her boy a few months ago, and her husband's an elder in that church, that old whitehead. Hey, you know who they are. She's been grieving herself. What's your name? Sister Richardson. And she's grieving herself to death over that boy. I feel for her. Lost her boy 50-some years old, had a terrible tragedy. But you know what? Let me talk to you. There's an evil spirit. You have a death in your family, wrecked you and ruined you for the rest of your life in the house of God. Sit there and can't do nothing but just moan and groan. Listen, there's a devil gets in that. Oh, I know we're going to cry. I've lost loved ones. I've buried my daddy. I've buried my brother. I know. But listen, children, you can get down under that and you can't get out to worship God. I got up there preaching the other day. I think I was preaching on cannibals. Did you all ever hear cannibals preached on? That's what I preached on, is cannibals. But she sitting there, and if you'll notice in that tape there, you'll hear me talking to a woman. Nobody understands much what I'm doing. I'm down in the aisle beside that old precious mother. I said, listen, I don't talk to you. You're about to grieve yourself to death over your boy, and you can't change a thing.
He's in the hands of the God of all the earth, and shall not the God of all the earth do right? I said, you can't touch that. These people need you. These young people need you. These young ladies need you. They need their mother in this church. They need these mothers in this church to help them with this work and to carry on for God. Hello, Mama went to shaking, and I went to shaking. We need you here. You've got to come up out of it. Get your mind on God. Get the victory over that. Put God in the place of that. I just think, Lord, I ain't even preached a message. I've just staggered around all over everything. But, and Jesus said in Matthew 9:4, knowing their thoughts. Why was it you got into it on the way over here about? He knew. Which would be the greatest? That's what there's into it over. He knew all about that. Huh? No, she said. You having thought trouble? Went to Insane Asylum, California? J.V. Rackley, there's a man, his wife went off, left him with 3 children. That devil's on me. You know what the devil said to him? You're doomed, you're doomed, you're doomed, you're doomed, you're doomed, you're doomed, you're doomed. And he had been good to his wife, and she just left, went wild. And he was in the insane asylum. And he kept saying, he's doomed. I didn't like it. I know that wasn't from the Lord. I told him I wanted to be quiet. Quit saying that. Stop. He'd listen that much. He'd stop. I said, now we're going to pray for you and rebuke that. You don't have to go to hell. You ain't going to hell. Your children need you. And God will help you. And you know that old boy looked at us and we prayed for him. Would you believe the next day they turned him out to J.V. Rackley? He just made an about face, stopped that stuff, and talked just sensible as anybody. And he went to work for J.V., plastering them houses out there in California. I was around there a while, go out there and see him. They just had a jubilee every time they went to work there. Talked about God and prayed. Listen, you can get your thoughts straightened out. Let me talk to you now. Behold, I thought. What'd you pray about? There's an old girl down in our country. I'm going to touch every base tonight. Sure as a word. There's an old girl down in our country. She's about 40, and her husband wrecked his truck and burned him up. 3 years went by, and she's about 40-year-old. She said, Brother Moore, Sister Moore, she's a good friend of ours, said, I'd like to meet a good man somewhere. There's a man, a good man, said, I'm not too old, and some man that maybe had a like circumstance, his wife got died or something. God knows your thoughts. I knew a fellow like that. Yeah, he lived in Missouri. And I knew it. I pondered that a few days. The Lord got dealing with me. No, I don't make matches. I just put couples together. Go down to some old marriage counselor. Try to tell you where to go and who to marry. Better go to church and get it for nothing. Won't charge you a dime. Pray for you and ask God to help you. I said to her one day, I know what's the man you need to meet, sister. I wouldn't tell her who it was. They accidentally met somewhere in a camp meeting. He didn't hardly act like he knowed her, and she wouldn't hardly look at him. There's another woman looking at him, wanted him bad, going to try to get him tomorrow, sure of the will of God. He wouldn't look at her. Months and months went by, and one day I seen him, and I said, I know who's the woman you need to meet. He said, you do? Yes, sir. Never said no more. One day the phone rung and said, Brother Moore, I met a woman. I said, that's her, son. And he never did tell me who he met, and I didn't ask. They're married, and they pastor down there, old Gerald Green and her pastor down there in Texas. That's who it was. Happy as they can be. God knows. So I don't think like you think. I've got thoughts toward you of peace and help. I'm ready to rescue you. I'm thinking about starting a camp meeting in your soul. I'm thinking about saving you. I'm thinking about sending you a preacher. I'm thinking about sending you a good husband, sending you a good wife, sending you a good pastor. I'm thinking about sending you help. That's all they make over in heaven's hell. They don't send no sadness out of there. No. No. Go into all the world. Preach every ungodly thing you ever heard and tell every sad story you've ever seen, ever heard of, tell every church split and every church bust and every hypocrite. Go in all the world and preach it. G-O-S-P-E-L. You know what that means? Good news. Yeah.
tell them about it.
Oh, yes.
Pray, Beatrice. Here in 1 Corinthians 3 and 20, the Lord knoweth the thoughts. Hebrews 4 and 12, he's a discerner of the thoughts. Yeah. Knows what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not a spook now. Look here in Luke 12. You read about that old boy. He had such a bumper crop, he didn't know what in the world to do with it. Yeah. He'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pull down my barn, build greater, and have more room to store it.
Yeah.
Then he started that self-talk.
Yeah.
This was a person talks to you sometimes self. He's talked out everything God wanted you to have already. You listen to him, he talked out the rest of it. Self's a bad fellow to talk to sometimes. Discourage you, defeat you, get you down. Amen. Crowd wasn't big this Sunday. Won't be nobody here next Sunday. If you preach again like you did last time, your wife will leave you. I mean, he'll put it on you. Did you know oppression? Don't listen, I know what I'm saying. Oppression, depression is the greatest thing I've got to deal with anywhere I go. If lots of folks don't have to get no more money, they don't have to trade cars, they don't have to get a new suit of clothes, all we need to do is just get them out from under that depression. They hung under it. And get out from under it. They hung under it. Everywhere I go, they hung under it. Depression. Oppression. They got pills for it. And they can even check your mind and tell you if you got it. Doctors, they're smart enough to check your mind and tell if you're under oppression, under load.